The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Experts, and this all pertaining, of course, to the great PBMC, Peconic Bay Medical Center, the leaders. As far as your medical institution is concerned, right in the heart of Riverhead, in which we examine each and every week, an expert in the field, which is so important to learn about when it comes to all needed to know in the incredible medical field. Today, great guest, Vincent Ortolani. He is the manager of the Caregiver Center over at the PBMC. We welcome him for the first time. Vince, welcome aboard here on As Medical Experts.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Great having you. Really is. Let's get into it a little bit regarding Caregiver Center, PBMC. It's one of the first hospital-based programs on the island. From what I read, when did it open and what was the ultimate goal here, Vincent?
Yeah, so good question. We were actually the first one on Long Island. And just to kind of go into a little bit of back history, the physical center opened November 20th of 2018. However, our program started all the way back in 2014 when we started our first ever caregiver support group. Going to 2015, we started a caregiver retreat day. 2016, we started supporting caregivers via telephone. 2017, we became part of Northwell Health, and that's when we really got the vision for the physical center, when we got to meet with and hear about the Ken Hamilton Caregiver Center at Northern Westchester, who opened their doors back in 2006. So their replication center, and that's when we really got the idea about the physical center. So we never had the intention for the physical center at the beginning. It was all about supporting the caregivers, finding ways to get connected, stay connected, and really educate the community on the important impact that they have. So going into November 20th of 2018, when we did open up our physical doors, the goal for that, the physical space, is for a place of respite for caregivers, both inpatient and in the community. So we really want to address the needs of the caregivers emotionally, physically, mentally, and just create that space that's safe for caregivers.
Let's get into it a little bit. Vincent, talk to me a little bit about caregiving in general. It can take many forms, we know. What is it? What is caregiving? Who would be considered a family caregiver, if we can iron that out?
Exactly. So that's a great question, too, because I think oftentimes when we hear caregivers, you think of a million things. You think of the professional caregiver, within the medical center, those in the community. But like you said, what we're focusing on here is the family caregiver. And the family caregiver is just that. It's a family member who is providing care, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, many other addressing needs as well, to a family member in the community. So we often see this, that caregivers are not being paid, so it is something that they're doing because of their role of being the family member. And also on top of that, caregivers do not self-identify. That was one of the first things we realized right away. People don't just say that they are caregivers. They say that they are the mother, the son, the spouse. They say what their relationship is rather than identify as a caregiver. And that was a big shock for us. We had to really, for the staff as well, educate people on who is a caregiver. And I just want to kind of talk about a couple of specific examples. The one that you hear all the time is going to be the spouse caring for their partner. Oftentimes it would be Alzheimer's, stroke, cancer, something to that degree. But really there's so much more to caregiving. And I want people to start really thinking about their own situations. And just to go over a couple as well. So we have oftentimes two parents caring for a loved one. For a child, I should say, with a developmental disability. They are as well. They need that same support. We also have the mother caring for a daughter battling addiction, which unfortunately we see way too often on the east end of Long Island. We also then would have a husband caring for his wife and small children. So we've had that due to the wife being diagnosed with a breast cancer. And then as well, we can see caregiving in the sense of an adult son caring for their parent, which again, right now, we're seeing more and more that sandwich generation. They're caring for their parent, they're caring for their children, and that really is a stress and a strain on these caregivers who don't have this support.
Gotcha. And very interesting stuff. Vincent Ortolani is with us. He's the manager of the Caregivers Center. We don't talk a lot about caregiving. Very important stuff, especially, Vincent, when it comes to the most commonly requested services and resources. What are caregivers seeking that accord? And how does your center kind of help navigate the resources that are needed for these folks?
Yeah, so again, this is a good question. It's kind of tough because for each individual caregiver, we have to really cater their services to that individual need. But what we see the most commonly would be, I could probably narrow it down to three. The number one would be supports for caregivers of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia. And we see this growing and growing this past couple of years, especially. We've been seeing the strain on the caregiver. And for that, we really have formed strong partnerships with our community partners. So those people who have the resources, whether it be the financial resource, that supportive resource, the educational piece of it. So for us, really partnering with our community members and finding what agencies are providing those specific needs. So let's just talk a little bit about Alzheimer's and dementia supports. One way that we do this is we partner with the Alzheimer's Association. And if you don't know what the Alzheimer's Association is, it's national. It's all over the country here. And we have a local chapter here on Long Island. Sharon Reichman is the social worker for that program. And a huge shout out to her for all the support that she has shown for our caregivers. And we really want to connect them with those community partners because for the Alzheimer's Association specifically, they have a slew of their own resources, support, and educational series as well. So for us, it's really having that ability to connect with the community and our partners in order to explain and share to the caregivers that we see here inpatient. Just to speak a little bit to what the Alzheimer's Association does have, so they have educational workshops, which are on all different topics relating to Alzheimer's and dementia, support groups, and you can find support groups no matter where you are in the country, especially right now with everything being virtual, as well as they can help. They have a 24/7 hotline. And for anybody who wants to find out more about that, I encourage you to go to alz.org, and that will be able to really connect you with that specific resource. Now, another one that we see very commonly, especially with the aging population, are those veteran benefits. So veteran benefits, it is so important for people to know about this. I think all too often we come into contact with a veteran or a caregiver because the supports that they have are not just for the veteran, and I want people to know that. It's for the caregiver as well. So whether the caregiver is the patient or the veteran is the caregiver or is the patient, they still can get support. And just to speak to that a little bit more, we partner with the Northport VA, the LI State Veterans Home, and really we have one contact there, Gary Richard, and he helps people to apply for those benefits. So it's important for us to know those players in order to educate those caregivers that we come into contact with. And I just want to speak to that again a little bit further. So the veteran benefits as well, there's actually a resource out there for people to receive, or veterans, to receive a financial stipend or benefit, which is based on your financial situation, and it helps to pay for care at home for these caregivers, for these veterans. So it's so important that people know about that, and we really help them to connect to that. And just one final one I do want to talk about is another need that we see often is medical supplies. So I want everybody who's listening to really know that there are services out there if you're struggling for financial or medical supplies, and they're called lending closets. And they're all over the place. And I think it's one of those best-kept secrets, or not really that great of a secret, because it should be. But the lending closets allow you to borrow medical supplies at no cost, whether it be a commode, a shower chair, railings, walkers, wheelchairs, things of that nature. And there are so many different locations. So if you just Google lending closets plus your location, you will find one in the area. And just to touch on that one bit further, those who no longer need their equipment, I always encourage them to donate to those lending closets. Make sure that that supplies is still being useful to the community and to those other caregivers who vitally need this equipment and these services.
Yeah, it is so vital. You know, it just takes, from what you're describing, Vince, just participation on all fronts. And it's just so vital that everybody, you know, do their thing. And you know, everything will be fine. I mean, if everybody does, you know, their little thing as far as the help is concerned, I think we'll be better off. Great stuff. We're only done with one half of our conversation. Vincent Ortolani, we're talking caregivers, PBMC, Ask the Medical Experts. And we will return to this very, very informative conversation right after these words. And we're back, folks. We are in the midst of Ask the Medical Experts. Jay Oliver here. Peconic Bay Medical Center, the place, and has been for a very long time. Vincent Ortolani, he's the manager. We're talking caregivers, the great caregiver center over at PBMC. It's one of the first hospital-based programs here on the island, and we're talking about that. And Vincent, you know, I was thinking at the break as far as what happens after. You know, I mean, what happens to the support, or do you provide, I should say, any support to caregivers beyond their loved one's hospital stay? How does that work as far as that time period right after?
So that's, again, a good point, is that after they leave the hospital, there is still the role of being a caregiver. It doesn't stop with that acute setting. So for us, it was important that we really had support going beyond the hospital stay. And that comes in a couple of different ways. So between our support groups, we have a program where we will do a check-in call once a month for the caregivers that are referred here. And again, like I said, we partner with our community. And with that as well is our outpatient services. And we receive referrals not only from inpatient, but outpatient in the community. And anybody can receive these services. So really for us, we want to stay connected with these caregivers while they're here in the hospital, when they get discharged, if they have to return. And I'd say the number one way that we do that is with our telephone outreach program called Stay in Touch, just calling once a month to check in. And we use volunteers, myself, a social worker, and a social work intern to maintain that connection. So this way, if that loved one or that patient and their loved one do need to return to the hospital, they have us to tap into. And as well, just kind of going a step further as well, we have the resources for people in the community. So, you never have to be connected to the hospital to connect with the caregiver center or to receive these services. We welcome people to really reach out to us regardless of their stay here in the hospital.
Important stuff right there, folks. Vincent Ortolani, he is with us talking about some very important stuff here with the caregivers. Some of the demands, what are some of them, Vince, and some of the struggles that a caregiver would face, and the resources and the tools providing to address the needs? Because I'm sure that comes up all the time, right?
100%. And so the way that we started this program was that we really, again, I keep saying it, but we partnered with our community. We had to know who we were going to be caring for, who we were going to be working with, what needs were we going to be addressing. So we started out by not only surveying our staff and those that we met inpatient, but we held focus groups, and we identified the three top needs of caregivers, and it really is divided into three sections. So the first one would be support, and like I said, we have that caregiver support group that follows people as well into the community. We have two of them currently running. We do have one the first Thursday of every month, which is a general caregiver support group. Anybody who is a caregiver can join that. Which is, again, the first Thursday of the month at 12 o'clock, as well as we have on the third Wednesday of every month the Alzheimer's and dementia-specific caregiver support group. And like I said, we have that Stay in Touch program where we stay connected with caregivers and just provide that extra bit of support. Now, on the other side, like I said, with the resources, we have a couple of things to address that need. The number one is that we have, through the center, developed a resource guide. And we realized in a lot of our focus groups, caregivers don't have time to be reading books. So for us, the important part was getting right to the content. In this resource guide, we get right to what the supports are, what the agencies are, and then their contact number. And then from there, we can tap into, we have a resource library, not open to the public, but through our supports and through the Stay in Touch and through myself, a resource library which goes into more detail on the specific resources that are available in the community. So that is something, too, anybody can tap into, whether they are inpatient, outpatient, never been involved with Peconic Bay Medical Center, and they just have to call up for that information. Now, the other piece would be education, and we have educational workshops on a monthly and going back to twice a month basis. One of the ones that we have coming up is going to be specific to music therapy for patients or loved ones who are caring for a patient with Alzheimer's and dementia. And another one that we're doing is going to be specific for Parkinson's disease. So we're going to have 8 mini-series on that piece as well, which you can find on our Facebook page, Peconic Bay Medical Center, Northwell Health. We really wanted to partner with the community, figure out what their needs were, and try to identify ways that they saw best in addressing those needs.
Very interesting stuff. What about your staff, your team? I'm sure you have one, and I'm sure it's trained, licensed possibly, and that is to provide the sports services and the outreach, right? I mean, you have to be able to have some sort of a formulation of a team there.
Yeah, and we definitely do. So we have a great support system outside the Caregiver Center, but the Caregiver Center team specifically is, so I'm a licensed master social worker, and there's an endowment to maintain that position throughout the length of this program. So we're very lucky to have that. In addition, we always have the support from a master-level social work intern, and we have as well volunteers, trained volunteer caregiver coaches, we call them, and these are individuals who they themselves have been caregivers. So we see them as a peer support to somebody who is either inpatient, outpatient that we're calling to stay connected. And we've been so lucky. You know, we really have been led by Tara Englum, who is an LCSW, and she continues to be here for support. She's the one who really had the passion, the drive to start this program from nothing, going back to the palliative days when that was the only way that we had the support. So this program will continue to run, will be continued to have that support from a licensed social worker at all times.
It's good to know. Listen, a good team, good staff, so important we know. Who can access or use this center itself? I mean, are there any stipulations involved here?
Yeah, so that is a little tricky right now because of COVID. So anybody can get the caregiver support program. So anybody can reach out to me. Anybody can be part of the support groups, can get the resource guide, can tap into our resource library, can get to Stay in Touch. The only stipulation, like you said, would be for the physical center right now relating to COVID-19 restrictions. It isn't just open to the public to walk into, but you could always reach out to us to really receive that support. However, we do have the caregiver center open for those if you are coming into the medical center itself, you know, to be able to stop by for a cup of coffee or just a minute before you go up to see your loved one for respite and to rest, because it's a huge strain on these caregivers. So outside of COVID-19, so prior to that, it really was open to the community in the sense of we held our educational workshops there, we held our support groups there. And then for anybody who had a loved one, they were free to kind of go in and out of the caregiver center and utilize that space.
So that's good to know. You mentioned COVID and everything else. How do you stay connected with caregivers in need of support with all that's going on right now with this pandemic?
Yeah, so that was a hard one. I mean, at the beginning of COVID-19, we had to completely shut down visitation, which is devastating. I mean, it's devastating for the staff, devastating for the patients, and it's devastating for the caregivers. We had to immediately transition to a fully virtual platform. So we, from day one, We're doing proactive calls to all these family members and these caregivers. So I, without a doubt, believe that we kept people connected to the same degree that we were before. You know, by doing proactive calls, as well as we held our virtual support groups, we held virtual workshops, and even a virtual caregiver retreat day. So everything had to go to that virtual platform. And just one step further, with my team, we were doing, again, since day one, virtual visits. So we were that middle ground, being able to provide support during these visits. We would stay there, hold these iPads in these COVID rooms, and even non-COVID in some cases, because they couldn't have visitors, to connect the loved ones and the caregivers to the patient. And we continue to do that. We still continue to have the virtual workshops, to have the virtual support groups, to have those visits, the virtual visits, and it's been very meaningful. And as well, we continue to receive referrals from our community partners, our outpatient services, as well as the inpatient. Now that visitation has reopened, we are starting to provide that support in person at the bedside as well.
Let's talk to you for another half hour. We'll run out of time. People should go on the website, PBMC, learn more about the Caregivers Center at the Great Peconic Bay Medical Center. Very rewarding 30 minutes here. Can't thank you enough as far, and we look forward to having you on again. How's that?
Thank you so much, Jay.
Appreciate it all. Vincent Ortolani does a job and a half, I'll tell you. Manager of the Caregivers Center, Peconic Bay Medical Center. We're out of time. Jay Oliver. Another edition of Ask the Medical Expert awaits. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday. Stay well.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.